Hello, Madison and North Florida. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. If you're listening by computer, we're so glad that you have joined us today as WMAF streams 24/7, as you well know, and you're able to receive this broadcast. So we pray that you will join us right now for a good time around the Word of God, investing in things that are eternal, that cannot and will not be taken from you. Praise God. Amen. Remember the story of Mary and Martha when he came to their house and Martha got busy preparing to feed Jesus and his entourage and all the people that assembled there, and Mary just sat right down at his feet, began to hang on his every word, and Martha came in and said, "Mary, come help me. Don't you know we got so much to do?" I'm paraphrasing, but Jesus chided her gently but firmly and said, "Ah, Martha, you're busy with so many things, but Mary hath chosen that good thing which cannot and will not be taken from her." This time of investing the Word of God into your heart, your life, letting God through the Holy Spirit invest in you, it will not be taken from you. So much is going to pass away, but heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word, he declares, will never pass away. Neither will those who heeded and obey it and apply it. Praise God. Amen. The Word of God is the instrument he uses with his Spirit to bring us to Jesus for salvation. Praise the Lord. We're glad you're with us. If you don't know Jesus, would you please stay tuned? Maybe you think that you can't live the Christian life, and I'm going to have to agree with you. I can't live it either. But Christ can live it in us and through us when we receive him as our Savior. Praise God. So don't be discouraged. Don't let the devil talk you out of eternal life. Too much is at stake. Come to the Lord just as you are. Remember that great song at the end of every Billy Graham crusade that I've ever heard? "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." Listen, friend, today the Lord loves you. If you're a Christian, the Lord loves you, but he doesn't love you more than the person who isn't a Christian today. God commended his love to us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And greater love than this, the scriptures declare, has no man any greater love. So God couldn't love you any more than he loves you right now. He can't forgive you and save you and reconcile you unless you repent and come to him and believe on him. But he loves you today, friend. And there's no need for one person hearing this broadcast or in this world to be lost. Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Well, we love you. I just feel that call of God early in this broadcast. I know that the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to someone personally today. And it encourages me as we declare his word. Praise God. We're talking about the great subject, pleading the blood of Jesus. Amen. Literally standing on and declaring the finished work of Jesus at the cross in our behalf when the enemy of our soul comes to accuse us. You know, the Bible calls him in Revelation, the book of Revelation chapter 12, the accuser of the brethren. His very name denotes the accusations to demean and destroy our hope and to try to turn God against us and to convince us that God is against us and not for us. And he comes as the devil, diabolos in the Greek, which means one who maligns, literally. He comes to tear us down before Almighty God and accuse us of all of our sins and imperfections. We cannot defeat this accuser by declaring he has no evidence, because I'm sure in every person there is evidence that we are not perfected yet. We are not held by sin. If we're a Christian, we're not enslaved by it. But we have weak flesh to deal with, and from time to time, the greatest of us to the least of us as Christians have to come before God in humble repentance. And when we do, God graciously forgives. Praise God. Well, I want to read again from the book of Romans today. Romans 8, 31 through 39, particularly in this subject of claiming and declaring the finished work of Jesus through His shed blood on the cross. Amen. Pleading the blood of Jesus. Listen, Paul, in light of what Christ has done and what He's established for us, says, "What shall we say to these things? I want to back up here. What shall we then say to these things?" That's why I believe we need to do as the Scripture said. The Scripture said that we need to hold fast our profession of faith, because He is faithful who promised. Now, that word in the Greek, profession, it means to say the same thing as another. We're not speaking empty words when we declare what God has said about us in light of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thereby, if you don't use the phrase, "I plead the blood," we are in fact pleading the blood of Jesus Christ. What more then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And friend, I want you to know today that God is for you. If you've come to know Christ as your Savior, God is for you. Now, the Bible said the wrath of God rests upon them who do not believe. But it doesn't mean that God isn't for you in the sense that He desires to forgive you and to be reconciled unto you. I'm telling you, He can't unless you come to Christ as your Savior, repent of your sins. But He loves you. He gave His Son for you. And the blood of Jesus stands in His presence in your behalf today. What a tragedy it would be not to go to heaven and experience eternal banishment and punishment with the blood of Jesus pleading to the Father for your salvation. Oh, how God would delight in forgiving you. You say, "Preacher, you don't know what I've done." It doesn't matter what you've done. What matters is what you're going to do about what you've done. But if you come to Christ as your Savior and God absolves you of your guilt, of your sin, then there is no greater force, no greater power, no greater authority in the universe than Him. And when He does it, it's done. And there's no one that can condemn any further. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is in your behalf today and in mine. And if you're a timid Christian today and the devil is smacking your ears back with the guilt and accusation, listen, if there's a sin in your life, go before God, repent, ask for power over it. He'll give you forgiveness and strength and grace. And if you are under that guilt trip of the devil today, you need to stand on the finished work of Jesus and verbally, vocally declare what God says about your sin. You know what God says about our sin? "As it is written, saith the Lord, I will cast their sins away from them as far as the east is from the west, and their sins will I remember no more." We have a great enemy in Satan the accuser. We have a great ally in Jesus our Redeemer. Praise God. Hallelujah. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Listen to verse 32. "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all," and literally delivered Him up unto death for us all, "how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Praise God. It is Christ that died. In past broadcasts, we've dealt with that great truth, what the blood of Jesus and the death of Jesus has accomplished in our behalf when He died on that cross and said in His last breath, Tetelestai, it is finished. Not only did He die, but He rose again. The Bible said He was raised for our justification. It proved that God accepted His sacrifice and that our sins can be totally forgiven. Who is even at the right hand of God, Jesus stands at that place of power to present His blood in the holy place in heaven, in the mercy seat in heaven, in our behalf. And today we're going to deal with the fourth aspect of this total redemptive act of Christ on the cross, because it says, who also intercedes for us. I want to read Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Wherefore He, Jesus, is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him, seeing that He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Praise God. I want to read this from the Amplified. I really like this. Therefore He is able also to save to the uttermost, completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity, those who come to God by Him, since He's always living, to make it petition to God and intercede and intervene for them. Dunn calls all of this the courtroom metaphor. I want to read what this scholar says about that. He says, the risen Christ pleads His sacrificial death before the judge on behalf of those who have believed on Him. The verdict of acquittal or condemnation lies wholly with God and God alone. God's commitment to His own in Christ is how acquittal comes into effect. The judge's own right-hand man is on our side. A more powerful and favored advocate than any who may plead against Him. Knowing that God is always for us, friend, will embolden us in prayer, particularly in spiritual warfare. Listen to what David said in Psalm 56:9. When I cry unto Thee, then shall my enemies turn back. And the basis for this bold statement of faith, he said, this I know, God is for me. Praise God. Amen. We ought to say it today. God is for me. Praise the Lord. In light of what Jesus has done at the cross and God's own comments and statements and activities toward us because of what Jesus did. Amen. We can declare, who shall lay anything to God's elect? When I prayed, one thing I know, God is for me. And if God be for us, who can be against us? We need to declare it loud and clear that every enemy has been conquered. Every foe is vanquished. Every weapon neutralized. Every obstacle removed. Every shackle broken. Every word spoken against us stopped. Every accuser cast down. We are declaring publicly that we are the recipients of all that the blood of Jesus has accomplished in our behalf. So I'm going to make a statement today. The blood of Jesus speaks, and so should we. You know, back in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, it said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know if you ever talk up to the devil, but you need to talk up to him. Praise God. We need to speak it forth. The Bible said, with the heart the man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I confess today, amen, that I was a great sinner, but I have a great Savior in Jesus Christ. And I confess today that God is for me. Praise the Lord. He has said it first that I may agree with Him and speak it forth. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Bible said of those early apostles, we have seen with our eyes, therefore have we spoken. What we've seen and heard, we have spoken. Praise God. I want you to see today and hear today what the blood of Jesus has done in your behalf. And the next time the devil gets you in a full Nelson of guilt and shame and doubt and fear, I want you to declare, God is for me. And believe it in your heart and speak it with your mouth. Praise God. Hallelujah. And just pile drive him. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you don't know that, watch wrestling sometime and you'll figure out these terms. Praise the Lord. The blood of Jesus speaks, and so should we. Hebrews 12 and verse 24 says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The Amplified once again said unto Jesus, the mediator, go-between agent of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of mercy, a better and nobler and more gracious message than the blood of Abel, which cried out for vengeance. You know, the blood of Abel, the first person, the first murder that took place on earth when one of God's creation killed another. When he came to Cain and said, Where's your brother Abel? And Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? God answered him and said, the blood of your brother that he slayed in jealousy, the blood of your brother cries to me from the ground for vengeance. Listen, the blood of Jesus doesn't cry for justice or vengeance. The blood of Jesus cries for mercy in our behalf. The blood of Jesus, make no mistake about it, the blood of Jesus speaks, and so should we. Praise the Lord. So what does the blood of Jesus speak? What does the blood of Jesus Christ say to God? It cries, friend, that our sin debt is paid in full. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Jesus is our sacrifice lamb, our substitute. His death on the cross satisfied God's demand for justice. And what does God say about the blood of that Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, amen, that who Jesus Christ is a type of? Exodus 12:13 says, and the blood shall be unto you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Praise God. Amen. The blood speaks unto God, and God speaks unto us concerning the blood of Jesus. Andrew Murray said the blood must have the same place in our hearts which it has with God. We can rely upon the Lord Jesus to reveal unto us the power of His blood. Praise the Lord. He goes on to say there's no single scriptural idea from Genesis to Revelation more constantly and more prominently kept in view than that expressed by the words, the blood, writes Andrew Murray. There can be no approach to God, no fellowship with Him by faith, no enjoyment of His favor apart from the blood. By the institution of the Passover as an enduring ordinance with the words, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, the people were taught that life can be obtained only by the death of a substitute. Life was possible for them only through the blood of a life given in their place and appropriated by the sprinkling of that blood. It was in that blood, by the covenant had its foundation and power. It is by the blood alone that God and man can be brought into covenant fellowship. Without blood, there could be no access by sinful man to a holy God. On Moriah, the life was redeemed by the shedding of the blood. In Egypt, it was sprinkled on the doorposts of the houses, but at Sinai, it was sprinkled on the people themselves. The covenant was closer, the application more powerful. I like what Philip Brooks says, and I quote, "Sin is never so dreadful as when we see the Savior with that blood upon His garments. And the Savior Himself is never so dear, never wins so utter and so tender a love as when we see that it cost what it cost Him to save us. Out of that love, born of His holy suffering, comes the new impulse after a holy life. So when we stand at last purified by the power of grateful obedience, binding our holiness and escape from sin close to our Lord's struggle with sin for us, it shall be said of us that we have washed our robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." If God says that's how He cleanses, and God says that's how powerful the blood of Jesus is in our behalf, friend of mine, we, the redeemed by that blood, ought to say so. We should speak forth in bold declaration, "Christ died for me." And if God be for me, who can be against me? And in so doing, plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. The devil can accuse us of something all the time, but he can't. He cannot. He cannot condemn us if God, through Christ, has forgiven us and absolved us of our sin. Praise the Lord. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, God sees the blood. The blood of Jesus speaks to God in our behalf. Number two, what does the blood of Christ say to we who have accepted Christ as our Savior? We know it pleads in the presence of God for our forgiveness. What does it therefore say to we who are forgiven, the redeemed? Simply this, friend, it cries that we are forgiven, that we are reconciled to God, that we are accepted in the Beloved. Our past is past, our guilt is gone, our conscience is clear. Wow, I want to say that again. Our past is past, our guilt is gone, our conscience is clear. I'm going to read this from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 through 14. It says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing that though the God of the universe no longer accuses us, our conscience sometimes does? Getting God's forgiveness is not at all as difficult as accepting His forgiveness and proclaiming it and forgiving ourselves and walking in that newness of life. One of the great hymn writers of the past struggled with these very issues, William Cowper. He was a young lawyer with a brilliant mind, and he found the pressures of life overwhelming, and he had a complete mental breakdown. But while confined in an asylum and suffering from prolonged periods of deep depression, he would spend much of his time in reading the Scriptures, remembering his spiritual upbringing as a child and his concern for the eternal destiny of his soul. He struggled with the question of his salvation and peace with God. One day, while reading the book of Romans, he was confronted with the words of the Apostle Paul, who said, "For all have sinned," Romans 3:23-25, "and come short of the glory of God. But being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation or satisfaction through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." And it jumped off the page, jumped into his heart, while admitting his need for personal redemption and the sufficiency that is in the shed blood of Jesus, our great Savior. And being convicted by the Holy Spirit, William Cowper realized a personal relationship with Christ and a sense of total forgiveness of sin. He therefore was gloriously saved at the age of 33 in 1764. Praise God. Amen. There is victory in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He soon moved to the parish Anglican church pastored by Reverend John Newton, who is the author of the amazing hymn, "Amazing Grace." How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. The blood of Jesus speaks to God. The blood of Jesus speaks to us. And the blood of Jesus speaks to the devil. Praise God. God doesn't condemn us. We must not allow condemnation from our own minds. We still have an accuser. The devil hates the message of the cross. He despises the blood of Jesus, for through it we are delivered. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to read Revelation 12 again as we get ready to close this broadcast. "And I heard a loud voice," 12 in verse 10 and 11, "in heaven saying, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." The Amplified said, "And they conquered him by means of the blood of the Lamb and by the utterance of their testimony." The Bible said that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Friend, God wants us to confess Him before men and to stand upon the finished work of Christ. And we need to look the devil in the eye and let him know that we are the redeemed of God, and we're going to say so. And the day that we do, we plead the blood of Jesus, and the devil is robbed of any instrument of hurt or harm or accusation against us. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, and make no mistake about it, He is, friend, who can be against us? Praise the Lord. What a mighty, wondrous, wonderful God that we serve today. Listen, friend, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I implore you today to make this the day that you receive all that Jesus died to give us. That today you defeat the enemy of your soul. You defeat your own sinful flesh. You defeat the strongholds in your mind. And you come to the foot of the cross to be washed, to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Don't let anyone or anything stop you from this great salvation that's been provided because of God's great love for you. And if you're a Christian today, don't be timid. Don't back up. Don't back off. Be strong. Be steadfast. Unmovable. Hallelujah. Plead the blood of Jesus and watch the enemy flee. Well, our time is gone. We love you. Come back next week and let's talk about Jesus. Say it again. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood.
Just there.